Some weeks ago, I started doing some research. In fact, I asked some of our mothers in our church for some of their input, some of their thoughts on this subject. I'm going to speak to you this morning on this thought: parent dedication versus child or baby dedication. How many of you have been in a church that had a special ceremony or a special time when parents would bring their babies and they would have a little prayer, and they have a, what they call a dedication service? Anybody been part of that or seen that? All of the history of New Hope Baptist Church, we have never had such a service. I'm not opposed to it, but in recent days, the conversation has been geared around that, and it's because of children. So we've been talking about it, we've been thinking about it, and I've been thinking about it and rethinking about it. And so in these recent days, the subject of dedicating one's baby or children to the Lord has most definitely come up. And in talking about the subject has come some very good questions that I thought we should look at. In some ways, I'll be honest with you, I have changed my mind on this subject in some areas. And I remember the day that we approached and went before our home church, the New Hope Baptist Church in Candler, North Carolina, on Mother's Day in 1996. Andrew was just a little over 30 days old, right at 30 days, and we got special permission from our lawyer and the court in West Virginia to be able to leave the state. For 30 days, we were not allowed to leave the state of West Virginia until that 30-day waiting period, when the mother, Andrew's birth mother, had the opportunity or the right to change her mind. And believe me, it was a long 30 days. I mean, Andrew's birth mother loved Andrew, and it was a special type of love that in our day and age, she could have aborted, killed Andrew, but she chose to give him life and to make a life for him by choosing his adoptive parents. Happened to be Arlene and I. And we got special permission to go home to North Carolina, which is about from where we were in Bluefield, West Virginia, approximately 2.5 to 3 hour drive. And we got the special permission to leave the state and go home for that weekend, Mother's Day weekend. Arlene's first Mother's Day. Mother's Day had been a sad day for us for a number of years. We were not able to have our own children, and they always had a big celebration at church, you know, when you would recognize the oldest mother, the youngest mother, the one that had the most children, the one that had the least children, the one that had the smartest child. Oh, it just went on and on and on, and it's just a, and we're sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, why did we pick to come that day? Because your heart's broken. I mean, you're happy for all the mothers, but there was an empty spot there. And for all those years, Arlene and I, we prayed, Lord, if you do not intend for us to have children, please remove the desire. Remove the desire, and it won't hurt as bad. And God blessed us 18 years into our marriage with Andrew. And that particular Mother's Day, we went forward to the church and had our pastor, Brother Ricky Gibson at the time, to hold Andrew, and he prayed. And he prayed for this family, prayed for me, prayed for Arlene, prayed for Andrew. And it was a special time. I did a little research, and I spoke with Sister Melissa. They've done it twice, once in Easley, South Carolina with Carter, once at Gateway Baptist Church with Lincoln. You've probably experienced it or have participated. What's it all about? Is it just a photo op? And you believe me, we in this day and age that we live, photo ops are, they're in. I mean, we've got the cell phone. We could take it right then. We don't have to call a photographer. Whoop, there's a photo op. Selfies, we's, us's, all those things. But is it just a photo op? I believe that it's, what does it mean to dedicate a baby to the Lord? And by way of introduction this morning, I want us to examine just a few questions on this subject of baby dedication. Is infant dedication the same as infant baptism or sprinkling? Some believe so. It has the same significance, but I don't think it is. Is it some church sacrament? Does it dispense the ceremony, the prayer? Does it dispense some measure of grace? Some believe it. They will go to a priest and they'll ask for a special blessing. And he will do this and do whatever. Hocus pocus, or I don't know what they do. But they really believe, oh, I've been blessed now, or my child's been blessed. Because if you were to ask a number, various Christians from different walks, you're going to get multiple answers. What it's about. So our purpose this morning is to try to clarify our belief and practice. Now just because we've never had one doesn't mean that I don't believe in it or I don't practice it. We've just never had the opportunity. I want to speak to you just for a moment on this thought. What's the origin, or where did the tradition come from? There are many who will refer to a passage of Scripture. Now we read there in the Psalms that children are a heritage of the Lord. They are a gift. They are a blessing. Sometimes we want to choke them. Yeah, I know. We've all been there, brother. I mean, we've all been there. Even those of us that had angels. So, some will say that a baby dedication ceremony is biblical because, well, Jesus was brought to Simeon. Remember in Luke chapter 2? Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to Simeon, and he held the baby in his arms, and he said, Lord, now I can come home. I've seen your Messiah. I've seen the salvation of the Lord, something to that effect. All these years, this aged man been waiting for that babe, and there he's holding it. My problem with that, and that's a wonderful story, and I've spent some time studying and looking at it and preached on it for a while. My problem with that is that Mary and Joseph were fulfilling a Mosaic law requirement, as seen in Leviticus chapter 12, in which case a child's dedication would be an Old Covenant expectation for the Jews. But I am still not convinced that baby dedication was something practiced by the early church. Now, when I say early church, I'm going beyond 300 A.D. I'm going to the apostolic, those first churches that were there in Jerusalem, Antioch, and those Corinth and Galatian, all of those New Testament early church. Because after that, several hundred years beyond that, there was a lot of things added, man-made things added to the church. There's only two biblical church ordinances. Brother Fred, in his Sunday school lesson last week, gave me a very interesting article on the Sandy Creek Baptist Church. And a lot of the things that Sandy Creek, this is the oldest church in the state of North Carolina, oldest Baptist church. I believe at this time when Sandy Creek Baptist Church was formed or was organized, there was like five Anglican ministers in the entire state. And Governor Tryon at the time was trying to push a state church. Governor Tryon was, of course, under the British crown. This is before pre-Revolutionary War. There's a city, a town in North Carolina called Tryon. It sits right on the border of North and South Carolina. It's as far as William Tryon got. He was headed into the western North Carolina mountains to sign to a peace treaty. The French had made a treaty or joined up with the Cherokee, and they were fighting what is known as the French and Indian War during that time, and there was a lot of feuding going on, and Governor Tryon had made it into Polk County, North Carolina, and was ready to come on into western North Carolina, but the winter snows stopped him there, and he later on went and was the governor of New York. Had got changed positions. Anyway, with this church, one of the things that they practiced, and they believed in the devotion to children. And I got to looking at that, and what was that all about? Well, I found out that these Baptist churches, that they started having Sunday schools. Sunday school was not something that the apostles established. This is later on. So they devoted time to the children in Sunday schools. And the first public schools in our nation were in the church houses. They had a devotion to children. I believe it was along that time that they adopted this practice. Wherever it came from, there's no record really of it, of dedicating babies or a ceremony. I do not think that it was something on a regular basis practiced in the early church. There isn't anything in the New Testament epistles. That's where we build our church biblical doctrine on. We do not build church doctrine out of the Gospels. We do not build it out of the book of Acts. That was a trend. There's some principles laid down, but church doctrine comes out of the epistles. There's nothing in the New Testament epistles to indicate a special ceremony for babies to be dedicated. In the Jewish religion, male infants were circumcised on the eighth day in obedience, again, to a Mosaic law. In the Catholic churches, the Lutheran churches, Brother Kevin said the other week that when the Lutherans left, or when Martin Luther left the Catholic Church, he brought a lot of suitcases with him. He left, but brought a lot of the practices and stuff. In the Catholic churches, in the Lutheran churches, in your Greek Orthodox, your Russian Orthodox churches, in the Methodists, even the Presbyterians, and other what they call Reformed churches, they practice infant baptism, where the infant at a certain age, at a certain ceremony, is baptized or sprinkled, and they become a member of the church, part of the church. Some even believe that's the moment that they get born again. I was, in my early days, witnessing to a lady in her 80s or 90s in the hospital, and I asked her about her heart condition, her soul condition. Is she ready to meet the Lord? And she literally opened that little Bible, and she had her baptismal ceremony or certificate when she was just a baby. That's what she pointed to as her assurance for salvation. However, Baptists do not baptize infants. One of the cardinal things that we stood and we suffered and we were persecuted over. Baptists do not baptize infants, nor do we believe that circumcision is necessary from a biblical perspective. However, Baptists believe that only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can a child become part of the body of Christ. You got a precious baby there. She don't even know she's in the world. Only at feeding time and changing time. If everything's good, how can people believe that a child, a infant, like Peyton or Tate or even some of these that they know anything about, and they sprinkle a little water and they say some kind of prayer over them, and they feel like they are ready for heaven? Some feel that a baby dedication is nothing more than a special time of prayer for the infant's health and spiritual well-being, or even for their salvation. They look to another example in the Bible, Matthew chapter 19, a very beautiful picture where Jesus is receiving the children, and the disciples tried to get them to stop bringing, and he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And there, isn't that a beautiful picture? There Jesus is holding children, laid hands and prayed with them and prayed over them. That's a beautiful picture. And they'll take that and they'll build their practice upon that. Well, there's Bible for it. And I know that the parents think that that's a very sweet scene with Jesus and the children. And I agree. But with a proper understanding of that text as a basis for some kind of dedication ceremony or service, I think if you're using it's a stretching things a bit. Also, I believe that in ways it elevates the pastor or the priest to a position of being able to grant some kind of blessing through a prayer, which is totally unbiblical. If you don't know it, I am a sinner, just like you are. We're all sinners. Some are saved sinners and some are still lost sinners, but we're all sinners. And there is not one ounce of goodness in me. There is not. What righteousness I have is by the Lord Jesus. It is Christ. There are others who, for a basis for of a modern day baby dedication, well, they'll go all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 with a lady named Hannah. Not that one, but another one. And she had a little boy by the name of Samuel. You know the sex yet? No, you are going to tell us, aren't you? Yeah, all right, we're looking forward to it. It may be a Sam or a Samantha. But it'll be one or the other. But they will go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, where Hannah, after God answered her prayer for a child, she promised to give him back. And Hannah gave Samuel to the Lord. However, the problem with this is Hannah left Samuel with Eli to be raised in the house of the Lord all of his life to serve. And I'll be honest, I'm not prepared, nor is New Hope Baptist Church, for you to leave your children. All right? I know they're angels, but I'm too old. My wife's too cranky. I'm just not prepared for it. So to put, it's really grasping at straws to use that as a biblical basis. I can speak for myself. I should say, I am not ready. My wife may take one. But I'll tell you that most parents aren't willing to leave them. An hour. But I'm talking a lifetime. So, I mean, you see, there, to use that, you're kind of stretching it. Even though we are unsure of the origin or the tradition of a baby dedication ceremony, some churches conduct one. And they conduct a special baby dedication service. But I would recommend more of a family dedication. More of a family dedication, a parent dedication, where parents, children, and even the church family come together to dedicate themselves before God to bring up these children according to what Paul said over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, there's a lot of instructions there for families, for parents, for children that are innocent. They know nothing. So you can see it's more of a parent dedication than a child dedication. New Hope Baptist Church here in Craig, and all I've said at first, in all of our history, never had such a service. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to it. A few minutes at the end of a normal service to recognize the parents, to recognize the child or the children, and most importantly, to recognize the commitment that that family is making before God and His body of believers, His church. To raise that child according to the Word of God. So it is only natural that it be more of a parent dedication or, again, a family dedication. So I want to take the next few minutes and I want to think about some parental responsibilities. Because that baby, I mean, you could come to church for a year every Lord's Day and pray over that. But if you go home and you don't fulfill some parental responsibilities, you're just fooling yourself. And I listed a few, and I'll go over them in just a moment. Let's look at our text, Psalms 127. Let's look at verses 3 through 5 one more time. Verse number 3, the psalmist said, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate. What a picture here for a family God bless, and they have full quiver. Now, some may be 5 kids, some may be 19 kids, some may be 1. I have a very small quiver. It held 1. But it was full. What a beautiful picture this is. And it says happy. Happy. So with this special gift from God, this heritage, this blessing, we need to, comes with that special heritage, that special blessing, some responsibilities. Paul said over in Ephesians 6 in verse number 4, made reference to it a minute ago, but verse number 4 says, "And ye fathers," talking to the parents, okay? And I know the terminology, but God gave mom and dad a child. Dad didn't just come up by himself and have it, nor did mom. All right? But it says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." That word wrath means anger. "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Do you realize how many people I talk to on a daily basis or a weekly basis who have problems and they go back to their childhood because somebody provoked them to anger? They did not fulfill some responsibilities. They either let the children raise themselves, or they just wasn't involved, or they just had something, and we got angry adults. And Paul said, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but instead bring them up, nurture them, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." That word, nurture and admonition, you cannot do that without discipline. Now, go with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy, back to the Old Testament. Let me show you something else. I hope you're following me, because I'm... Chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Life's book of the Pentateuch. Look at verse number... Chapter 6, look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Verse 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." That heritage, that gift that God has given. "Teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them," the word of God, "shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." I see a 24/7 responsibility right here. When you're sitting at the house, you know, one of the things that families don't do anymore, they don't talk. We sat at dinner the other night, and I watched several at the table. This thing with the cell phone. they will actually talk to each other. And one father told me, that's the only time they'll respond to me. If their phone goes beep or boom, they look down. That's the truth. If I want to get my, he said, if I want to get my child's attention, I send them a text. That's sad. This is the era that we're living in. But the Bible says when you settest in the house, when you're walking by the way, when you're lying down, when you're rising up, 24/7. Parents are to be the primary teacher. If you're bringing them and sending them to Sunday school or bringing them to Sunday school, and you think that the Sunday school teacher and that 30 minutes of sometimes mayhem, we're the best we try, and that's good enough, you are so foolish. Think about it. We are the primary teachers of the fundamentals of the Christian faith to our children. Starting with the great commandment. This is also recorded over in Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37 through 40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. These are the words of Christ. He quoted in the Old Testament. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. We are to teach that to our children to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. This is the first, Jesus said, and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, Jesus says, hangs all the law and the prophet. There's weight there. There is weight there to teach our children. It's our response. We, the parents, it is our responsibility to do that. Not a Christian school. Amen, Melissa. Amen, Amanda. We do our best. We love them. And we nurture. And we try our best. But it's not totally our responsibility. It's got to start in the home. And fathers, it starts with you as the head of that home. Now, instead of just dedicating the baby, it seems much more appropriate for each parent to dedicate themselves before God and their child or children to be obedient to these God-given responsibilities. Now, I know that some of you were probably thinking, well, I can do all of that in privacy of my own home. And you can. I will not disagree with that. You can. Just do it. Just do it. But doing it before the body of Christ, I believe, is a sign that the parent or parents' commitment to fulfill these responsibilities within the community of believers. In closing this morning, I want to give you five things that will help you to fulfill some of your responsibilities. And I stopped with five. Five is the biblical number for what? Grace. And believe me, you're going to need it. One of the hardest jobs around. And even when they turn 18, 19, they become men in uniform, ladies in uniform. I mean, ready to kill the enemy, ready to lay down their life. You don't stop. My wife said to one, you'll stop when they throw dirt in your face. Caring and loving and worrying and praying. And even when you're a great-grandma, you still, that is there. And believe me, it's one of the hardest jobs there is. And this is a gift from God. So I believe he thinks or knows that you can, you're up to the responsibility. So I stopped at five. Let me just give them to you real quickly. First of all, we're talking about parental responsibility. Stay married. You ask all the statistics, all those when they look at the high crime rate, and it's because of fatherless homes or broken homes in one thing or another. So make that commitment on the good days and on the bad days, on the sad days, on the mad days, stay married. Do whatever it takes. You work at it. You labor at it. Stay married. Now I'm going to say something. Stay married in recognition that God's plan for the father and the mother to rear that children in the same home together is the best plan. And as I say that, I don't mean in no way to exempt or to put down a single parent. I was brought up by a single parent. My mama made great sacrifices financially, emotionally, to say to my father, you're not going to do that in our home. And she worked the rest of her life. She raised two boys. She never one time, I think about it, I should have been in jail many times, but she never one time had to come and bail me out. There's a few times I just didn't get caught. Okay. The whole life. But I mean, it really. But what a sacrifice. And I say this, when I say slavery, I am not putting down anybody that had to go that route. In fact, I commend you because you thought of God and those children to get out of a dangerous or an abusive or a situation. Number two, here's another one. Be the spiritual leader of their children. Don't expect the schools. Don't expect the boys' club, the girls' club, whatever. You be the spiritual leader of your children, which includes setting an example. Believe me, they learn more by what they see than what they hear. And when our walkie-walkie doesn't match our talkie-talkie, we just better shut up. It does. It makes a big mess. But our example, setting the example in their relationship with Christ and with His church, it is our responsibility as spiritual leaders. And teaching your children the gospel, the whole counsel of God, and the applications of that gospel. Number three, maintaining, this is your responsibility because that little baby right there has no idea at all. But maintaining the health, safety, and welfare of that child. Doing what it takes. What it takes to do that. I was talking to a grown man the other day. And he is so angry with his family, his mom and his dad both, because they allowed things, they did things, they did not, it provoked him to anger. He has some health problems, not just physical health, but mental health problems because of what happened in the home. Because they didn't realize that what they were doing in the home was affecting him. And now he's almost 45 or 50 years old, and he has baggage. Baggage. And some of you would be right along with, but for the grace of God, you've found the Lord, and you still got those baggage and maybe some of those things. But He's helped you. His grace has overshadowed you. His love has strengthened you. And you, there is victory. Number four, praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing for your children's salvation and their sanctification in the Lord. My burden this year, unlike last year it was my burden, but this year has been heavier and been more because in our kids in our school, they're a year older. And my burden is that they come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. And I'm real careful because you can make a child say anything. And just repeating a 1-2-3 ABC prayer will not get them in heaven. The Holy Spirit of God has got to draw them. I mean, I can get a child say anything. And I don't want anyone to go to hell because they thought that they repeated something after the preacher. I'm all right. But my prayer is that God, the Holy Ghost, moves in a mighty way and brings about faith. Amen. And that child repents. When you say, well, what sin? Well, the sin of unbelief. I'll speak more about that tonight. But yeah. He gets born again. Because as I said, they're a year older. They've been under the gospel. And they've, boy, I don't want anyone to go to hell off the seat of the church I pastor. Pray for them without ceasing. Number five, shepherding your children. Just like a shepherd out there in the field, he's always on watch, looking beyond the horizon for any danger. Not only right here, but he's looking, where am I going to find green pastures? Where am I going to water them? Where's the predators? And he's standing there. If you look at David as a shepherd, he not only had a staff, but he had a sling. I've got a 9mm. I'm going to shepherd. Now, some people say, oh, the preacher, you're hovering. No, I ain't hovering. It's been apparent. It's been apparent. One of my things, I've had to let go, and we should after a little while when they become men. But I'm still got a shepherd's heart about it. Shepherding your children, their hearts. That means watching out what they watch on TV. We used to pick up the cell phone every so often and look what Andrew's been doing. Well, that's invasion of privacy. No, they don't have no privacy. No. Kids don't have no privacy. You're the parent. You know? And I'm shepherding. And if there's anything on, what in the world wrong with you, boy? Don't you realize? And you remember those days? Andrew told you probably, didn't he? Got my cell phone taken away from me. Huh? Save here? You had a hovering mom and daddy, didn't you? No, they were shepherding. Mm-hmm. I'd advise some of you don't give them to them that early. Wait till they're about a month from 18. For your 18th birthday, I'll give you something. Internet. Look at what they're doing. Video games. A lot of hell comes through those video games. A lot of demon activity. Mm-hmm. Wizardry, warlock, all that stuff. They don't need that. Well, you're just messing with their imagination. It's my job to. I don't want their imagination to be corrupted. Shepherding. Now, some of you might not ever come back, but I've said it. New Hope Baptist Church at New Hope Baptist Church, we're going to call it such a service or ceremony, a family dedication. Although photos will be taken, some of you can't help it. You got to. Where I got these right here. Oh, my goodness. My refrigerator, you'd think that your children were my children. But they're beautiful. And I've got some of yours. I've got some of yours that you don't want me to show no more because they're right now. I've got some of TJ. Yeah, he's 19 years old, almost 20. Huh? Almost. When's your birthday? June 15th. Be 20 years. I've got some pictures he don't want me to show you. And he was just a snot-nosed kid. I got some of this fella right here. I've been in his life since he's 6 years old. And if I ever, listen, if I ever believed in karma, you know, I must not have done right because now I got these. Double the trouble. I think sometimes I turn to Melissa and I think, don't worry, they'll grow out of it. Because I did it with him. Oh, my goodness. But they are a heritage. And we have a responsibility. I'm not against baby dedication, but I am for family dedication.